Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports. Okay, thanks, bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Show me how the sausage is made.
Oh, that's why we talked about
Show
it.
Show me the menudo.
Weeks.
Yes.
Menudo. Pastadochi. Is it pastadochi on the left hand side? Is that the menudo? Right?
Yeah, Dochi is an artist.
Wait a minute. Isn't that.
But it was Dutchie. Pastadochi on the left hand side.
You don't know what
you
a Dutchie is?
You guys understand.
No, I don't know what a Dutchie is. The Dutch
Smoke
master?
Weed every day.
Okay, so it's weed. Ray
it
too.
It is by
but
a
I didn't
group
know.
Called The Musical Youth. Came out in 1982.
Wait, I thought that was Menudo. No?
No.
Menudo is like Ricky Martin. We bring in our friend Trista Crick.
Are you familiar with Dutchies? And have you ever passed a Dutchie?
What? No. What is? No. What is that?
Oh, so you don't know what a Dutchie is? Okay.
I would think that was like a blunt. That's what
yeah.
I would think. Like
yeah,
that
you're
was
right.
A
you're right
store.
On the money.
You're right.
Cody Decker.
Have you ever passed
oh
a Dutchie?
Oh my goodness.
Do you What's know what a Dutchie?
That's the appropriate response.
It's a blunt.
Well, guys, as a card-carrying massive pothead, I do not pass. That's mine. Buy your own.
That's my Dutchie.
True.
Be an adult.
Pass the Dutchie on the left hand side. Pass the Dutchie on the left hand side.
Oh. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live through the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is Tuesday. What does that mean? We got Ian Happ at 11:25. We got Five on it at noon. Later today, Jed Hoyer is joining the afternoon show. How do you like that? That's 3 o'clock, isn't it? And Nico Horner at 2:30. There's a lot of Cubs talk going on. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer are our producers. You want to join us on video? We got you on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And again, I see the floor to the man who held the revival at Wrigley on Friday. You had a whole crowd around you. Marshall Harris is here with an update on his public service announcement. Are you doing your job? Are you actually doing your civic duty when it comes to voting for your Chicago Cubs? Or, in the words of Gene Honda, your Chicago White Sox!
It seems like the Cubs fans have done their thing in phase one of voting for the 2025 MLB All-Star Game. How do we know this? Because when we look at the outfield specifically in the National League, the voting is there for two Cubs. So much so that Pete Crow Armstrong leads all outfielders in voting with over a million votes. 1,126,119 votes. And that's the third most in baseball.
The third most in baseball. Do you know who's leading all outfielders in the American League? Just to give you some perspective here. A guy named Aaron Judge. So I would say that is a pretty solid recognition. Who else is in the outfield, you say?
Well, the number two spot just happens to be held down by another Cub, Kyle Tucker. He of the pending free agency, that Kyle Tucker, 704,740 votes with a narrow lead, just under 20,000 more than Teoscar Hernandez of the Dodgers. I told you this was all about big markets. And the top four vote getters in the outfield are Crow Armstrong, Tucker Hernandez, and one Juan Soto from the Mets.
I've heard of him. But the most important thing is it's just another way to tell Jed Hoyer and company to sign Kyle Tucker. Like, that's what I need people to understand here. Make sure there's no doubt. Do everything you can to show that he is appreciated. And I feel like that is an easy way to do so.
Now, if you're scoring at home, the number one vote getter in baseball, Aaron Judge, as we mentioned, 1.5 million votes, the number two vote getter. That would be the designated hitter, Shohei Ohtani, with 1.3 million, knocking on the door of 1.4 million votes. And then it's Pete Crow Armstrong. I want you to understand something. It's Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Pete Crow Armstrong. That is, those are your guys on the podium right now.
And I think there's an important note, not just for the fact that Pete Crow Armstrong is popular. It's that we have been talking about him. Of course, you've been keeping track on an extension that I don't think is going to happen anytime soon because of reasons like this. But this isn't just somebody who we appreciate. It's not just somebody who Cubs fans talk about. It's not just somebody who made a splash in Japan, as we saw with the fans, to begin the season against the Dodgers. Ball knowers are paying attention to what Pete Crow Armstrong are doing. He's not just the favorite of the seam heads. He's not just the favorite of the media. His performance and his production is now showing up in a way that all of baseball and its fans are recognizing. This is something that not only I think helps the Cubs, but it also just shows you the respect that he is getting when it comes to being one of Major League Baseball's current stars.
Yeah, the star power is certainly there. When you look at the guys right now who have gotten a million votes through this point, remember, voting closes for phase one next Thursday. That's a week Thursday, so 9 days from now. There's only a handful of guys who have gotten a million votes. Cal Raleigh, who is doing unbelievable things as a catcher after dark for the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh was challenging Aaron Judge for home run total in baseball. You know, that part of it.
Freddie Freeman, future Hall of Famer who plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Francisco Lindor, another big market guy who plays shortstop for the Mets. And that's it. Those are the guys. I'm sorry, Will Smith, the catcher for the Dodgers.
Freddie Freeman also, 1.13 million.
Future Hall of Famer, yes. So that's the company that he is keeping right now. Now, the interesting thing you got to remember is this is how voting works. If you're in the top two in any category, you become a finalist after next Thursday. But for the outfield, it's different because there's three outfield positions. So if you're in the top six, you advance, and then the voting resets. And then the top one out of those two becomes the All-Star Game starter at the position, top three in the outfield.
You want, if you're a fan, to have your guy go past phase one. And that's the important part of this. By the way, how about Javi Baez getting the fifth voting in outfielders for the Tigers? He's number five among outfielders with 421,342 votes. So shout out to Javi.
So he's squarely in the mix, but if you go a layer further and you're saying, okay, I know the top two vote getters at each position, not in the outfield, get to phase two and get voted on. If you look at the catcher position in the National League, what do you find there, Layla? You find Will Smith with 1.1 million votes, but number two is Carson Kelly of the Cubs.
Let's go.
Carson Kelly can get to the second round. Now, I'm not saying Carson Kelly's going to make it, but if he's just in phase two, Cubs fans will allow their voices to be heard.
That's it for me. It's not necessarily that that person deserves it. Yes. Did Carson Kelly have an outstanding first 6 weeks of the season? Yes, he did. And for that, he deserves credit. But it's also that it's a way for Cubs fans to say, we're here. And our team is here, and we deserve the respect that goes with doing all the things that a big league roster commands. And that doesn't just mean pitching and defense. We touched on that yesterday. We know that the pitching and defense has really been carrying them in the last couple of weeks. But it's respecting the roster that has been put together. It's showing you that not only is the stage appropriate anytime the Cubs are on a big one in baseball right now, but there are things that fans can do when it comes to at least sending the message that guys like Kyle Tucker are valued by this team. But with PCA, I think it's even more of a proof of just an ascension that we've seen. You know, there's the guys that you like where you're watching your team. You know, I would put, before he was really widely respected, I think Jose Ramirez fits into that category. You know, those who were watching either AL Central, like a lot of Sox fans were, or say, were paying more attention in Cleveland at the beginning of his career. they didn't understand the value. And then we saw it over time. And I feel like in this case, PCA is being appreciated quickly and on a national stage, and the votes reflect it.
Yeah, there's a strong correlation also when you talk about the biggest stars and the vote getters to another simple stat, war. Number one in war right now, 5.9, Aaron Judge. You know where he is on the votes at the top. Number two, one of the other guys who has a million votes, Cal Raleigh with a 4 war. Number three with a 3.9 war, Shohei Ohtani. And number four is Pete Crow Armstrong with a 3.7 war. The top four guys in war are amongst the top five in vote getting in all-star voting. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, you would show that the war is actually good for a lot in this case, that being in a baseball situation. And also sometimes the popularity contest does actually reflect the quality of the individual. Like if you're wondering why Paul Goldschmidt is number one right now at first base, his average is 309. You know, I know we make a lot about other stats that are not involving average, but Paul Goldschmidt is seventh in Major League Baseball right now in batting average. And I think, you know, that credit is probably deserved.
But also, he plays for the Yankees. Let's not beat around the bush.
That's a big part of it. But also, you know, that's just a name that I think a lot of people, if you're not necessarily paying close attention to the AL East, you're going, okay, what? But then the numbers don't lie. But in this case, the numbers back up what Pete Crow Armstrong has been doing on a national stage.
They certainly do. And to your point about Paul Goldschmidt, also number six, so he'd be the last outfielder to get to phase two in the American League. Former Cub, Cody Bellinger, right there, ready to go.
Yeah.
So he's also a Yankee. So that carries a lot of weight. What I'm so interested and fascinated by with this first reveal on the voting is the domino effect of a trade that was made recently and how it's affecting not just himself, but everybody else. And that is the designated hitter that's now a member of the Giants, Rafael Devers. So what they did in Major League Baseball is they just took all his votes for American League DH and they just transferred him into the National League DH. I don't know if that's the right way to go, but that's what they did. And so now you've got him in second place behind Shohei with 796,000 votes. Why is that a big deal? Well, the Giants DH, because he got transferred over, he bumped Seiya Suzuki down to third place. And he actually has more votes than Kyle Schwarber, which I found to be very interesting. And so now Seiya Suzuki is probably going to lose out on the chance to get to phase two because Rafael Devers and his almost 800,000 votes get there.
He plays third. I still love that quote. I will never not love that quote, even though I know we're talking about Seiya Suzuki and the designated hitter category. I think Seiya can probably still get a lot of votes. It's just the problem is that Shohei's got 1.3 million. He pretty much is 1.4. And wasn't that my concern to begin with? Was that if you're facing off against Shohei, it's not going to go well?
He's obviously one of the biggest stars. And before the really ridiculousness of Aaron Judge the last couple of seasons, he was bar none the guy. He didn't pitch last year. Still was a 50-50 guy, by the way. National League MVP. It's going to be interesting to see Ohtani versus Judge who gets the most votes as we talk about the first release of the All-Star ballots here on Raheemy and Harris.
Yeah, this has been Marshall's public service announcement, as you know. And for people who may not understand, I know we got a complaint or two in our text line, 312-644-6767. They were like, why'd you put yelling in the open? Because Marshall had a massive crowd of people around him on Friday who were listening to his revival. It still works. It's almost as though America's population has grown so much that you can appeal in different ways to different people.
That's actually big facts. And the other thing I wanted to point out is that the battle is not over for several Cubs position players. We talked about Seiya Suzuki being in third, and that's an uphill battle. He's probably not going to win now that Rafael Devers exists in the National League. But at second base, Ketel Marte, he's got 850,000 votes to lead all second basemen.
Appropriate.
Number two, Tommy Edman from the Dodgers, 510,000 votes. But at number three, Nico Horner and his outstanding defense and clutch hitting with 354,000 votes. If Cubs fans want to make a push, maybe they can get Nico into the top two.
And again, like Nico's defense, I think being recognized is a very good thing. Cubs fans are going to have to let him know. leading all major league second basemen in defensive runs and saved and outs above average. And we got to see it again in his last game in extra innings on Sunday. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. So I appreciate the voting, and it sounds silly. It sounds silly to think that all-star voting in a popularity contest would mean something. But players have incentives in their contracts, for example, helping with all-star. It's not just that, but the best way to bust through some coastal bias, especially when it comes to the East Coast bias in baseball, is to point these things out to people, because everybody talks about the all-star voting nationally. And I think that does help. It does help raise the Cubs' awareness and raising awareness. It helps do that on a national stage in a way that, again, just repeats the point home. It doesn't always have to be the Yankees, Mets, Dodgers discussion ad nauseum. And I think it also sends a message to guys like Tom Ricketts. You know, you want to say, oh, you know, we want to do X, Y, and Z spending-wise. Well, voters are here to tell you that you have a big league team that should be mentioned in the same breath as those three. And here are the votes to prove it. It should be a popularity contest at times.
It's a game Cubs for fans, the fans.
Cubs fans should flex their muscle, because it's yet another number that you can show says this is a big market team and this is a powerful fan base who wants to be mentioned in the same breath as the other teams we just discussed.
Cubs, Dodgers, Mets, Yankees. These are the powerhouses, if you will. But as a city that has two teams, can I now make an ask of our fans, such as myself, of the South Side? Can I do that, Layla? Is it okay?
Why wouldn't it be? You act like I didn't host White Sox pre- and post-game for many years. But that part of my life just didn't exist.
No. But this is a very different iteration of these White Sox.
Like, even last year.
Well, last year is last year. But here's something I think the Cubs fans and White Sox fans can get behind. Because Rafael Devers and his many, many votes, hundreds of thousands of votes, have been transferred to the National League, there's now an opportunity for White Sox fans to have their voices heard. Because when Rafael Devers was traded to the San Francisco Giants, that left a hole at the designated hitter position in the American League. And now, with a mere 353,000 votes leading all designated hitters in votes, is Ryan O'Hearn of the Orioles. Why am I telling you this? Because now number two is Ben Rice of the Yankees with only 232,000 votes. It's not a lot. And do you know who's number three? One spot away from making it to phase two.
Wait, can we get the number three from five on it?
Number three.
Yes.
Mike Tauchman of the Chicago White Sox has 177,483 votes and was within striking distance of the number two spot and a chance to be voted in as an American League All-Star starter. Could you imagine?
Stand up!
And what if Mike Tauchman's agent is like, yeah, let's put in this All-Star clarity into or some sort of clause into the contract, and then the Sox are like, okay, Mike Tauchman, we'll pay you $1 million if you make All-Star. Make Mike Tauchman some money. Also, this might be the saddest designated hitter All-Star list I've ever seen.
But listen.
Ryan O'Hearn, Ben Rice, Mike Tauchman, Yordan Alvarez. At number four, he's got 172,000 votes. Then it's Anthony Santander, who I'd argue just objectively should probably be higher. Cole Keith, Brent Rooker of The Athletics, Jorge Polanco, Jock Peterson. And at number 10, you ask? Jorge Soler from the Angels with 77,000 votes.
You might think it's an underwhelming class at designated hitter in the American League, but understand this. Even though he's only played 25 games, Mike Tauchman is healthy now. He is a one war player, and his slash line is impressive.
Oh, I'm
273,
all for
381, 500 slug.
I'm all for recognition of Mike Tauchman's slug. If you'll recall, I loved to point it out last year when the Cubs were in a dearth of slug and Mike Tauchman was the dude. I'm all for having some Mike Tauchman appreciation here. There's no doubt about that. But when you consider the composite of those names for the American League designated hitter,
why doesn't he have a chance then? I think that just bolsters his
chances.
That's
it, man. Come on. If there's really somebody who I think deserves some love. That would be that would be fantastic. I almost just swore on the air.
Get Mike Tauchman to phase two, and then we will reset the conversation about what needs to happen for him to become an American League starter.
And frankly,
in the All-Star
Cubs
game.
Fans should vote for Mike Tauchman.
That's what I'm saying. He should get the
Did
support from the North
Side. Did he not mean anything
to
you last year? I remember Mike Tauchman walking it off. I remember when he was the most important Cubs hitter that they had for a while. I remember Mike Tauchman keeping people in games.
Mike Tauchman's ready. He's ready to go. All y'all got to do is vote for him 5 times a day. Get it done between now and next Thursday.
I know some dudes in the 108 who may not have the time but have the passion to vote 5 times a day. I think there's more people there who could do this.
I think it would be a coup if Mike Tauchman became the starter at designated hitter in the All-Star game.
Don't let the
League.
Orioles slide be awarded. Did the sweep mean nothing to you?
Oh,
avenge
wow.
the Orioles. Yeah, I'm all for Mike Tauchman. That's my takeaway from this. Yes, the league needs to recognize PCA, but in your heart, you need to recognize Mike Tauchman. We continue the revival with an actual baseball discussion about the games coming up, perhaps the most important Cubs series of the year so far.
Ooh, let me get back to you on that.
Marinate on it. We'll do so next. Raheem and Harris on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
This Brewers team is a team to watch out for going forward. Their pitching just always seems to sprout up from nowhere. In fact, they're at 39 wins right now. The fact that this team subtracted two potential Cy Young guys over the last 2 years, one due to injury and one due to a trade. The fact that they let Adames just go over to San Francisco. The fact that Yelich is still kind of doing it. This is the only team, honestly, in the Central. I thought it was going to be the Cincinnati Reds that were going to take a step forward, but this is the team of the Central. I think the Cubs do need to be very worried about as the season goes forward. Mm-hmm.
That was Cody Decker. This is Raheemi, and here is Cody, the former major leaguer. He's back on BetMGM Network on Saturdays, by the way, so that's where you can listen to Cody. This is Raheemi and Harris on the score, and that was Marshall agreeing with him. Because I think, Marshall, you and I are in the same place on this. We're not where our friend Mark Grody was yesterday. Grody was confident. Grody was confident like I don't know, like you're walking into a situation on a movie set or something in a scene where you think you've got everything figured out. Like the season finale of Scandal, where you think everything's wrapped up at the end of the season, and then all of a sudden, like, something horrible happens. That's where Mark Grody was before the horrible thing happens. He's like, oh, I can finally rest. The season finale is over. Yeah, he was like that. And then suddenly, no, there's more Metallica albums that are coming for you.
Mark,
and that's how
I
feel about this.
He gave me more Game of Thrones right before the Red Wedding vibes. I just don't want to see that much slaughter happen.
What are you doing spoiling Game of Thrones for people like that?
Game of Thrones has been off the air for what, 4 years?
And by people, I mean me.
Oh, you were never going to watch Game of Thrones.
I have, yeah. Somebody sent me the whole DVD set and I still have
that
DVD
episode
player.
Will still shock you. It will, like, even if you come in knowing something's going to happen, it'll still shock
Guys,
you.
Guys, I always choose violence.
I got into Game of Thrones 5 years late and heard of the Red Wedding, and I still wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
Same thing happened to me.
And so I don't want Mark Grody to be unprepared for what could happen over the next 3 days. But I'll say this. It doesn't matter as far as overall. Like, nothing's going to change that dramatically regardless of the outcome of this particular series. Because the Cubs have a nice little cushion right now. So even if they lose two or three, or even if they were to get swept, they'd still be in first place in the NL Central.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily concerned about that part. I just think you respect the team that went 5-5 on their recent homestand and also has Christian Yelich still at DH, who went 3-4 and hit his 14th home run of the season in their win over the Cardinals in their last game.
So taking 3-4 from the Cardinals was big, right? That's a thing. And the Brewers are certainly trending up. They are fighting for, if not the NL Central, certainly a wild card spot. That's what makes this a little bit difficult, if you will. And the fact that the Cubs are facing some pretty good pitching, that pitching matchup tomorrow, I'm dialed in. I will be watching. Hopefully rain doesn't take, you know, its effect on it with the severe weather and everything. But the Jacob Mizorowski, he pitched 5 innings of no-hit ball in his first major league start.
No, Jason Mizorowski appears to be somebody not only that you have to respect, but is the real deal. And typically when you haven't seen a guy before, that advantage goes to the pitcher. I always bring it up. And it's because it's something that they say all the time. So I will definitely ask Ian Happ about it as well. I want to know what he knows about him. You know, this is the first day of the series. You can hear Ian with us at 11:25 today. So just under an hour for Ian. But they didn't have a problem bringing him up, the Brewers. They didn't have a problem sending away Aaron Civale. They've got Brandon Woodruff injured still. Nestor Cortez is injured. You know, they're banged up, I think, in a similar way to the Cubs pitching staff, except they don't have their ace out for the season or near ace. And so at times like this, when you know you can still get some money in the bank and add to the cushion, you've got to take advantage if you're the leader in the Central, and that's what the Cubs are.
Yes, it's a time to bury your in-division opponents. You only see them 13 times a season. You've already got one series from the Brewers. Keep adding to that. Make it a beatdown. You know, both those teams, the Cubs and Brewers, are 5-5 in their last 10 games. The way we feel about the Cubs and the way they've been not hitting, not slugging, if you will, that's one thing. But as long as you're winning the games, that doesn't matter on a local level.
But again, the Pirates were next to last in baseball, and I believe it was team OPS. And we saw how hard fought those games were in a 4-game series. And I say that because the offense wasn't producing enough. You know, they also were not walking as much as I would like, but I know walk rates in baseball can be pretty inconsistent, especially on teams that have home run hitters. Regardless, you're going to have to find some more offense in order to face this Brewers team. Weather is probably on your side today. It's hotter at Wrigley. I'm hoping that that means a different playing ballpark, but that also shouldn't be the excuse. A base knock is a base knock if you hit it to the right place, regardless, even though it doesn't go out of the ballpark.
Hit them where they ain't.
That's, I mean, easier said than done, as right. We know, but still something that is valuable in these spaces. Like, if you have to dink and dunk your way to get on base, that would be a better result than what we've seen over the past week and a half.
I'm concerned about the lack of base runners, because what we know about Craig Counsell's offense specifically and the way they've been able to win in a variety of ways is when they aren't hitting the ball out of the park, as long as they're getting on base, they will create opportunities. The problem is they had 2 hits in their last series, a 4-game series. They had 2 hits with runners in scoring position, 2 for 22, I believe.
I mean, think about the combined run total as a whole. You know, it was woefully low when you consider it. Like, the joke was on Sunday that when Pittsburgh jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first inning, it was a barn burner.
I think the biggest thing is when you're playing low-scoring games and you're talking about first 1-3 wins, and then you don't even get to 3, but you still find a way to win, that can be a positive going forward in some instances. But I told you, I'm more concerned about the Cubs pitching right now, their starting pitching, than I am their hitting. Because I do believe with the weather changing and the hitters that they have, they're not going to slump for long. Now that Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong are doing the things that they've done all season long, you can only slump for so long with some of the guys they have in that lineup. But the pitching is, hey, you're not going to get to face the Pirates lineup every series. That was a blessing that you got to face a team OPS, as you said, which either is next to last or dead last in Major League Baseball.
I think it's dead last. I think that title belongs to another team we may know.
The Rockies, perhaps?
Or, well,
not the White Sox.
It's some sort of combination of the three.
Well, no, the White Sox, they've been scoring runs. They just lose all their one-run games. They haven't been scoring enough runs. I'll give you that. They have not been. At no point have they been scoring.
Aren't they 4-19 in one-run games?
I thought it was 4-20, but it could be 4-19.
Yeah, from what Chuck said. The White Sox are tied for 29th with OPS with the Pirates. And the Rockies! Yeah!
Wait.
No, the Rockies are actually 661. So they've been updated since I looked 2 days ago.
So where are the Pirates?
Tied with the White Sox for last in OPS.
Okay. Dead last.
No, you're not dead last if you're tied with somebody.
You're tied for dead last.
That other somebody sucks with you.
Those three teams, though, what we know about their season.
And the White Sox are last in average.
Rockies, White Sox, Pirates.
222 as a team.
All at the bottom of the proverbial barrel. As we talk about the Cubs and their upcoming series with the Brewers, starts tonight. You can hear it right here on 670 The Score. Pregame coming your way, I believe, at 6:30. And it's right here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Don't forget that. That's how I listen. I listen through the Odyssey app because I don't have my Walkman anymore with the 670 AM like digital tuner.
Is it a Walkman or is it a Walkman?
It's a Walkman. For me, it's a Walkman. I mean, you're fancy, so you probably have a Discman.
I had a Walkman. I did not have a Discman.
My Walkman did have auto reverse, though. I like to point that out. But seriously, looking at this series, as long as the Cubs don't get swept, you want them to win the series. You would hope they'd sweep the series. But as long as they don't get swept, they're not losing a whole lot of ground on their lead.
I disagree. Even though you're going to see Mazeroski and you're going to see Peralta, I think you still have to take 2 out of 3 against this team because you're at home. Like, that's the other piece of this, too, is that simply because you are at home against your division rival and your first place in the division, like, take the names out of it. Just go blind item with it. I still think that by that alone, you need to be taking 2 out of 3. You especially do when you know that they've got guys pitching who are coming back.
I like...
Like, you're going to see those people later in the year.
You know, my philosophy overall is always take 2 out of 3 at home, go 500 on the road. That's how you get to the playoffs, right? But looking at this team right now, knowing that they are a season high, 16 games over 500, they're looking good. They have one of the best records in all of baseball. And I put it to you this way, Layla. If they finish the season 16 games over 500, then they're going to be on the borderline. If they just, from this point out, let's say go 10 games above 500 from this point forward, just 10 games over 500.
Just. This team finished 83 wins 2 years in a row.
That's only 4 games over 500. There's a difference between 4 games over 500 versus, say, 25 games over 500.
Right, that's why I was illustrating your, if they just do this, if I just have $1 million, X, Y, and Z, I'm not saying the two are as likely.
I understand that. I just look at the season as so much more of a grind, so much more of a marathon. I'm not putting as much emphasis on this series as I have in some of the other series. So when we went to break, you talked about, is this their biggest series of the season? I don't think it is, because I think they've worked themselves to a spot now where they can absorb some series losses.
I'm really looking more toward the 4-game set against the Cardinals next week.
Okay.
As being pivotal, like as far as if you, what you're looking at in the division. But when it comes to this piece of it, I still believe that this is important just because you've got them at home. So this is one of those take care of business type of series. Like the Cubs can take care of business against this team in a way that will be more beneficial to them now than it even would be later in the season.
The bullpen has been so good for the Cubs over the last month plus that I know they can't continue to have an ERA under 1. So I expect at some point they're going to give us some runs. I'd rather them drop 2 out of 3 and have great offensive showings than, say, win, you know, 2 out of 3 and the offense continues to be non-existent.
I think that's what we're asking, is at what point does this dam begin to break with guys like Tucker, for example, who traditionally has had very short and small slumps, and slump is a relative term because of how successful he is. Being a career WAR player over 5, at least. So given all of that said, I think you know that going in that this is not going to continue. It's just the hard part is when you see how contagious the hitting has been and how contagious it hasn't been, that's when I get concerned.
The wind is blowing out. It is humid as all get out outside. There should be hitting conditions supreme tonight against the worst of the three pitchers that they will see as far as the starting rotation goes in this series against the Brewers.
That's Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Rahimi. We are going to shift gears and talk about a brewing extension that is coming up. The latest on the news surrounding Billy Donovan's extension as Bulls head coach. The origin of it might not be what you think. Our friend Cody Westerlin, our intrepid basketball reporter, is going to join us next in studio. You won't want to miss it. This is The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
When we talk about like rebuild, retool, whatever word you want to use, that's all I've been a part of. Like I took over a program at Florida that had two straight losing seasons, and my first 2 years were losing seasons. Most of the time, that's what you're dealing with. You know, I'm not like, I only want to coach ready-made teams. You know, that's really never what I'm about. You know, I'm about building something. So clearly we're making a shift. I want to be part of building something.
That was Billy Donovan at the trade deadline addressing the comments that were pretty popular at the time about how Billy didn't want to be part of a rebuild. He clarified. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score, talking a little Bulls basketball and NBA Finals as well coming up with our friend Cody Westerlund. Cody, of course, running our 670thescore.com and then also the ever-present Bulls writer for The Score. Cody, thanks for being on with us.
How are you guys doing today? Good to be here.
Oh, we're good because, you know, the finals are wrapping up. The draft is around the corner, but The finals, there's at max 2 games left, right? Do I have my math correct?
That at max, yes. 2 games.
Yeah,
so I didn't know if you were wrapping it up in the next game.
I was not wrapping it up in Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis is very capable of forcing a game 7.
I agree with you on that if Halliburton's healthy. Look, they played really well at home for a couple games and split there in Indy in games 3 and 4. So much depends on his calf health and his ankle health and just that right leg that's really been banged up.
Yeah, Carlisle said after the game, he confirmed. He was like, he is not 100%. And for when the coach says it after the game that definitively, I actually pay a lot of attention.
Yeah, for sure. And like 2 days off helps them in that case. But like, yeah, absolutely think the Thunder are going to win this series at this point. But it would be awesome if it could get to a game 7, because then you get pressure, you see who steps up and is a hero, who can handle it. So we always want to root for that.
Yeah, or it may be as simple as the last game of that series would be at home in Oklahoma City. It can be that simple.
I love the fact that OKC showed us what they did the last time they were in a game 7. I was like, oh, that's when I was like, okay, OKC's probably going to win it all because of what they were able to do the Nuggets in that game 7, a blowout. That led me to believe, okay, this is what it is. But the Pacers, man, I got to tell you, to me, the Pacers are the best story in basketball this season because of what they have already accomplished, win or lose this finals. Everyone expected the OKC to be exactly where they are, Cody, but Indiana, you can't say the same thing about. And I think while people are talking about the overratedness of Tyrese Halliburton, my whole thing is Pascal Siakam might be the most underrated player in all of basketball.
And I like when you bring up the Pacers from that perspective, the Pascal Siakam acquisition. I'm glad you bring him up because it is a vision and a blueprint for how these smaller market teams can still rise to the top, and maybe they don't win the title, but you get to the NBA Finals and win a couple games, like you've got a chance. There's no doubt that in game 4 in the fourth quarter in Indianapolis, they were thinking we're good enough to win the NBA title there. And it's all because certainly the Halliburton trade, the Siakam trade. So you look at that, look, they've done a good job with their draft picks too when they can. But those were two trade acquisitions, and it kind of is reflective of the changing NBA landscape.
Right.
It used to be everyone get as much cap space as you can, try to get them here in free agency, signing them outright, and now it's more of a sign-and-trade league or just a trade at the trade deadline type of league sometimes.
Yeah, I did want to get into the finals in a little bit, probably at 11, just to produce on the fly, but since we are talking about the finals, and we will, I just want to make a note of that. So we'll put a little more on hold for the next segment because you're joining us for 2 segments, right?
Sounds good. Yep.
That's fantastic. I also, you know, we also want to talk to you about the Desmond Bane trade, of course, and just your thoughts on that. But I asked to have you on because you were the first person that I saw media wise to throw the note out there about Billy Donovan and a possible extension. I think that says a lot, given that we knew last time this happened, it was an after-the-fact report. You know, we found out later on that it had happened in the previous offseason. That was 3 years ago.
Yep.
So what is your understanding of where this is at with Donovan and the Bulls? And most importantly, what was the timing?
Yeah, so I'd heard that initially that the Bulls and Billy Donovan were working or ready to work on a contract extension back at the start of the NBA draft combine. So what was that, mid-May or so?
Right.
First couple weeks. There now, the difference between obviously Mark Stein's reporting saying they're actively working on it the other day and some of this is he's better sourced straight to these sources. I'd heard it, you know, the second layer of people. So I'm not hearing it from the people in the room negotiating it, for example, in that case. So there are plugged in people, though, at the NBA Combine that expected that to happen. I expected it to happen, too, just by virtue of how the Bulls operate and how we've watched them operate and covering Billy Donovan for the last few years. The understanding is he currently has 1 year left on his contract. Now, there's a possibility maybe it was more, but he signed a four-year extension to start. What the Bulls acknowledged was there was then a multi-year extension after that. So certainly was under contract for at least 6 years total, and he's 5 years into his Chicago tenure. So if you have a coach of his caliber going into a lame duck season, final year under contract, you would expect the offseason before for them to negotiate. So I expect that the deal will get done. I don't know where it is exactly, but the Bulls denying the Knicks permission to speak to Billy Donovan speaks to the fact, and that's why when the chatter, you know, started a little bit more like this is clearly a sign they want to keep him.
I know that Billy Donovan has done really good things with an underutilized number of players that have developed under him. So I get why they're re-signing him. I think the issue that the fan base has, like the diehards, not the casual, we go to see the Bulls to be entertained, but like we want to see the Bulls actually be good, is what is the merit for not just AK, but Billy Donovan in terms of leading us to actual playoff success? And it seems like there's no pressure there. Is that fair?
There's no pressure. I understand the viewpoint that some Bulls fans would want a new coach. I understand that, right? Because this is not a team that has... I mean, they were barely middling last year. They got there eventually, but you're still looking at a 9-10 seed there. So I get that. But to me, it tracks much higher than Billy Donovan, straight to ownership and management, right? I think it's instructive to remember Vegas predicted the Bulls to win 29-30 games last year, and they ended up winning 39. Like, Billy Donovan led the team to 9 or 10 more wins than anyone in the NBA expected, that the experts, that the algorithms expected. So you look at this and you say, how does Billy Donovan lead the Bulls to playoff success? Well, it would start with AK building a team capable of playoff success. So to me, that's the question that needs answered. It's not so much Billy. Now, there is fair criticism, too, of Billy in past playoff stops, right? Like, he had an Oklahoma City Thunder team that should have beat the Portland Trailblazers, and Dame Lillard shot him off the floor, and they lost that series, and there were some tactical questions about Billy's strategy years back in Oklahoma City. They had a 3-1 lead on the Warriors, could have gone to the NBA title,
but
didn't get the job done, mainly because of Klay Thompson in Game 6. But to me, there is a lot of good things he does, but if you are not going full rebuild, if you're not tearing it down and having 19, 20-year-olds everywhere in your starting lineup, the Bulls clearly going to this next level of rebuild and reset with young players with experience. Those are like AK's words for the most part. To me, Billy still fits what they want to do. So to me, that's why it makes sense in addition just with his professionalism, his communication. I thought he did very well last year with Modest Buzelis' development, for example, as well.
No doubt. This is Cody Westerlund. He is our editor at 670thescore.com. He's also our Bulls man, Bulls reporter, Bulls understander, Bulls newsbreaker.
I like Bulls understander.
Yeah, I think you are.
Because it's hard to understand sometimes.
It's like a foreign language, and you have to tell everyone what management kind of means when they say things.
Bulls
sometimes.
Interpreter.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
So we will do more of that. And I actually think that Billy Donovan extension, I don't mind. Like, they need change, but I don't think it needs to go there. So I'll tell you why. We'll talk about it with Cody. We'll also get into more about the NBA Finals and a Bulls nugget that is really bothering me about the success of this Indiana Pacers team. So I'll connect those dots all coming up next with Cody Westerlund. This is Raheem Ann Harris on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.